This is Peace Talks, a forum for talk about peacemaking and nonviolent solutions to conflict in ourselves, in our families, our communities, our nation, and our world. The acclaimed poet Maya Angelou recently published a poem called Amazing Peace, which included these words. We think we hear a whisper. At first, it is too soft, then only half heard. We listen carefully as it gathers strength. We hear a sweetness. The word is peace. It is loud now. It is louder, louder than the explosion of bombs. We tremble at the sound. We are thrilled by its presence. It is what we have hungered for, not just the absence of war, but true peace. I'm Paul Ingalls. In August of 2005, a group of poets attending the National Poetry Slam Championships in Albuquerque, New Mexico, took a break from their competitive events and offered up their words on world peace at a special reading. Today on Peace Talks, highlights from that special event. First, National Poetry Slam media director, Albuquerque-based poet Don McIver, talked with me after the World Peace reading to tell me more about it and about the annual championships competition.
Well, it was the largest National Poetry Slam in history, featuring over 300 poets from all over the United States, Vancouver, France, Hawaii. And basically, the National Poetry Slam happens every August, and this was number 14. Every year, it's part convention, part competition, and a slam is a competition where a poet will get up and read their work. They get their points by five judges picked pretty randomly out of the audience, and we drop the high score, drop the low score, so you get a score of 0 to 30.
So tell us a little bit about the specialized readings that also come along with the National Poetry Slam.
Well, basically the competitions are at night, and they've always traditionally been at night, so that created this window of what to do during the day. And since it is so many poets from out of town, this is where it becomes kind of part convention. So what has happened over the years is they've created specialized themed readings. So you'll have like an indigenous showcase, a women's showcase, a group piece reading, a haiku slam-off, and for the past few years they've been doing a war and peace reading.
So the War and Peace reading took place at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. Can you kind of paint a picture of how that looked?
All of our day events were at the Hispanic Cultural Center in one of four venues. The War and Peace reading was actually outside, and they had these two wonderful, beautiful cottonwoods that we put the stage underneath and put chairs out. So we were actually outside kind of on the plaza as you walk up to the performing venues of the National Hispanic Cultural Center.
I guess when you make an open call for a certain theme, you really don't know what to expect. What were your impressions about the gathering that came together in Albuquerque?
And I kind of know what to expect when it's a piece poetry reading in Albuquerque. And I was actually really surprised. I mean, we casted a pretty wide range, wide net, and since it's all from all parts of the United States, we had poems that weren't overtly political and weren't, activist poetry, but ran the gamut of personal, straight-up political diatribe to, you know, softer, quieter pieces. So I felt it was way more diverse than I'm used to hearing at a political poetry reading.
The first poet on the small stage beneath the enormous cottonwoods at the World Peace reading was Samantha Scalamaro from Somerville, Massachusetts.
Every line of this poem is true. I just added some rhymes, and I'm passing them on to you. Please pray for peace and pass it on. This is called Last Jazz. Jazz piano fills the airport atrium. I forget I've left New Orleans, find myself in Atlanta. It doesn't matter. It could be any airport, but not any time. It's 2005, and I keep seeing young guys in sandy fatigues, Army soldiers or Marines, getting ready to head overseas. There is a big group of the troops sitting, waiting in between flights. They're not smiling, not talking to each other. One is reading, one is talking on a cell phone, one stares at the atrium ceiling. I wonder what they're thinking. I want to say something to them, to let them know that even though I think war is the stupidest invention mankind has come up with, I want to tell them I don't hate them. And that I won't spit on them when they get back from Iraq. I want to tell them that I hate that they are going. I hate that people hate. But I don't say anything. I get ready to go to the security checkpoint, and I look over and notice a single, young, magnolia, white soldier sitting, listening up close at the piano bar. He's got the biggest smile you've ever seen. His head is bobbing along. You can see his perfect teeth. His uniform is crisp and clean. He looks like a 3.8 college kid on the debate team. And I realize that this scene is a Norman Rockwell painting sprung to life. The shirt of the piano player is a patchwork pattern, muted green, maroon, and black to match his skin. I can't take my eyes off them, wanting to paint them again and again. This is his last jazz, and I am watching this living cover of the Saturday Evening Post. It could be 1944, 45. The musician changes to Moonlight Sonata to prove that he's a pianist, and the kid feels it in his soul. You can tell because he closes his eyes. I'm hiding behind a column so he doesn't notice that I'm staring. I feel like a National Geographic photographer capturing images of America, as if I am in some foreign country, a voyeur in my own land. I feel guilty. I reach into my bag and find two of my photo cards. One has a flower, the other a butterfly. I write them fast poems because my flight leaves in a half hour. I leave the first one in the tip jar for the piano guy. Thank you for your music. It has special power. Then I walk over to the kid and ask, "Are you coming or going?" "Going," he says. I think most people never know if they are coming or going. I hand him the card and say, "This is for you." And then, somewhat dumbstruck, I mumble something feeble like, "Good luck." I can't look him in the eye, knowing that if I stayed 1 second longer, I'd break down and cry. The card said, "May you find butterflies wherever you go. May music always bring you such joy, and may angels watch over you and keep you safe. Go with grace." And then I signed it with a smiley face. I look back over my shoulder and see him opening the card. I keep going. Don't look back again. I get to the security checkpoint, and then I lose it. Tears stream down my face, thinking they are leaving this place that's safe, and I am going home to my warm bed, and any one of them could end up dead. I stick my gear through the X-ray machine. I'm going in slow motion. It feels like a dream. The uniformed Transit Security Administration agent notices my state. "Are you going to be all right, ma'am?" he asks. I sniff and nod, and with that collard green accent, he says, "You just left your sweetie, huh?" And I cry, shake my head no, and think, but someone just did, and they're just kids. Even the officer, I'm sure that I'm older than him. I'm awash in tears. I wave the lady behind me on, and this beautiful black man says again, "Are you okay?" And I say, "I'm just overwhelmed by the number of soldiers still going to Iraq." He looks me in the eye, says assuringly, "It's okay, they want to go." And I shake my head like, "I don't know." And he takes something out of his wallet and shows me his veteran's ID to prove that he knows what he's talking about. And then he says to me, "Do you need a hug?" And I nod an involuntary yes. He leans across the conveyor belt to comfort this unbrave woman and says, "Don't worry, they'll be okay. Just pray."
Samantha Scalamero. A short white-haired woman named Ruth Ember from Albuquerque is helped up onto the performance platform. She opens up a folded paper.
"I'm sorry, but I used to remember things like this. I have to read them now. I'm 80 years old and the memory's not that great. Young, strong, and determined, we marched in the 40s. Our slogans resounding for justice and truth. Free speech, join the union, and especially no nukes. We believed in the future. We believed in ourselves. We won some, We lost some. The struggle goes on. In the 50s, we were parents pushing our strollers as we circled once more in renowned Foley Square. We won't let McCarthy take our liberties from us. Our passion for freedom conquered our fear. We won some. We lost some. The struggle goes on. In the 60s, we were back in the square once again. Civil rights was our passion. We shall overcome. But the protests blurred into never-ending circles. I was tired, discouraged. What's the use? What's the point? We win some, we lose some. How long? For how long? Then I looked up, and the answer appeared. For there in the circle, one marcher stood out. Young, strong, and determined, my teenage daughter had joined the circle, had made her voice count. We win some, we lose some, the struggle goes on. Almost 40 years later, that moment remains in a memory of struggle, of sadness and joy. My circles of peace are firmer than ever. Two granddaughters now have added their voice. We win some, we lose some. The struggle goes on!
An original poem by Ruth Imber. The next poet from the Bowling Green, Ohio team was Nick James.
In order to be such peaceful people, I think it's important that we honor those who have educated us so much. And somebody who knows this, you know, it's just not people who are of your own generation, but people of every generation are just great. And so this is my poem, and it's called The Little Old Lady from Fort Branch, Indiana. She sits in her lazy boy, dolling her bathrobe and slippers, munching on kettle corn and smiling at episodes of Petticoat Junction on Nick at Night. But in that chair also exists the answer to every single problem in the world. Living by the philosophy that there is good in everyone and that everybody deserves the time of day, a cup of coffee, and a dirty joke. She doesn't understand a need for things nuclear, but definitely understands a need for things new, new ideas, new friends, and yummy new potatoes. So bring forth your Bushes and Blairs, your Sharon and your Abbas, because this little lady can save the day. Let her listen to the needs of the Shiites and understand the hopes of the Sunnis. See what's going on with the Ayatollah and understand the desires of all Iranians. Bring forth your Argentine debt, the World Bank, and the IMF. De Silva, Mugabe, and even Fidel Castro, because this little lady can solve it, Toto. She may not understand everything that's going on in the world, but I say instead of giving a UN Security Council seat to Brazil or Indonesia, let's give it to the little old lady from Fort Branch, Indiana. She doesn't have a big stick of diplomacy, but will have Werther's original. 3 pounds, mind you, in a dish, and will undoubtedly be listening. And when Kofi Annan says, Grandma from Indiana, what do you think? She will say that she doesn't see black and white, old and young, gay and straight, fascists and communists, Christians and Muslims. She will say that she only sees. But the lady who only sees is overseas. No global decision will be made. She sits in her lazy boy, dolling her bathrobe and slippers, munching on homemade kettle corn and smiling at episodes of Petticoat Junction. In that chair also exists the answer to every single problem in the world, living by the philosophy that there is good in everybody and that everyone deserves the time of day, a cup of coffee, and a dirty joke. And so if you know this person, your ma, your pa, your bro, your grandma, give them a hug and let them know that you are proud of exactly who they are. Because anybody who has over 3 pounds of Werther's original has got to be all right.
That's Nick James, one of many poets attending the National Poetry Slam Championships in August of 2005 in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and performing at a special World Peace reading held outside the National Hispanic Cultural Center. We're presenting highlights from that reading on this edition of Peace Talks, the series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. This is Albuquerque writer and poet Bill Nevins.
Qué bonita mi raza. You listening, mothers? Home is just that four-letter. We send our stories out anyway. Painted trains roll rickety-clack north on Santa Fe track. Greetings in spray paint color across Indio land. Burial words bound for Colorado Rocky Mountain glory. And the prez is on our border radio droning out his story. Spray can work on North Philly streets was art crimes for the kid who wrote and ran. The best writer his English teacher ever saw turned his tails in late, too busy sharking pool or dodging cops and chilling and too cool for school. Took his diploma anyway, rode off in that goddamned recruiter's car to boot, shaved his chin tough, guy growth. Taught salute, march, fight, and learn how to mow trees with the Army's grand S.A.W. Like that postcard he mailed home. Jump from planes when the word was jump. And lead his guys when the word war got real, like it did for his granddad in the 40s, or for all those battle stock men back up the family line, heroes or mercenaries, true to tradition. And that minstrel boy song to the war has gone, his father's swords girded on wild harp. The history books, they tell us so well, how FDR put folks' art in those public displays, WPA, and respectable if tinged a bit by Eleanor's democratic light red hue, and Woody strummed his fascist-slaying axe, sailed the rough seas, Reuben James, roared out word of our fighting kids, and said what had to be said about this land and whose it is, and those were glory days indeed, the good fight could be good. And then they hit the towers of New York. His birthday, 9-1-1, no joke. 20 years in the same Pentagon, we, so far back in that child-time dance, tried to exorcise in smoke, duly Kupferberg, chanting, out, demons, out, with Norman Mailer, drunk, gasping for words to spell it out. No more war. Armies in the night. This fight might be right. For all the snake oil crap and flag-wrapped lies, but it could well be wrong. That same old song, bad men send the best to die, kill and wonder why, so far away in the mountains where the empire's armies feared to go, fell and bled, our young still go there. But you ask, where? How could we know? Soldiers don't ask. Soldiers are asked to do what they do. Soldiers just do. Do what we need to do. What we need, just do it till it's done. And love is a word. That's the word he sends back. Emailed poems in short bursts. Love to mom and his girl. Snapshots attached from the Asian ridges. Bring your men home, boy. Bring our boys home, man. When this war ends, if this war ends, the word will be word, war, word, free, revolution of those words spinning in his head. Yes, sir, ma'am. Will they still give a damn? X or Y or Z, best minds of this generation, angry and taught to be. Word coming back. Home soon, soon come, home soon. Word, bring it. Thank you.
That's poet Bill Nevins from Albuquerque. And next, Kay Crown.
All right, this is a little bit more lighthearted, so.
I mean chocolate cake and writing in red pen. Rather decadent, I think, and it's midnight, which is a good time to give birth. And my consciousness is feeding me a stream of risque images, which I love to communicate, but I feel are just pinpoint spotlights in my primitive mind working for my artistic undoing through profound secrecy and lack of profound thought. In other words, cheap shots. When I say cheap shots, I mean anything that gives an erection to the id. I need more cake. All right, so my objective is to seduce the superego into a trance right at the point of orgasm and then place him in a full-size glass box charging suburban families $25 apiece to see it. 30 if they want pictures. My ambition is to do all this without using it-arousing phrasing once in this entire piece, thereby maintaining complete autistic integrity. I need more cake. I really like cake, and I've eaten the last piece. I've been eating cake all night, actually. Vegan chocolate cake, which in the abstract is a metaphor for life, I mean. It all tastes good. But is it real? And if you had quote-unquote real cake with cream and sugar and butter alongside vegan chocolate, which would be the winner? And if, by some freakish alignment of the stars, the vegan won out, what would the world come to? Star, the animals would go free. Star, the environmentalists would shut up. Star, Pepto-Bismol would go out of business, and did I mention world peace? I know it's a lofty goal to reach, but even this humanity brought to the height of emperors and cotton panties can achieve such greatness as scratching one's ass and wanting cake. There should be a revolution, my friends. Hordes of people will run into the street screaming their love of cake. Orgasms will be replaced by silk tofu icing. Oh, the glory, the wonder, the superego swooning in the face of chocolate chips free of milk fat and chocolate ice cream. Yes, members of the brilliant conspiracy that is Kay Crone getting crumbs in her bed at midnight. Join me in forming the nucleus of world domination and spreading world peace across the world. Yes, peace, my friends. Peace, peace, peace. Thank you.
Poet Kay Crown. Next up, from Corpus Christi, Texas, Tito Perez, with a poem he said was inspired by clouds that were forming above the little stage outside the National Hispanic Cultural Center during this special reading on world peace.
Give thanks to the impending storm when it has given you ample warning. I am the storm before the calm. I do not come to comfort or console you. If I cannot make you tremble, cower, or run for cover with my poems, I do not deserve to be called a poet. I was born to wage war with a pen, to alter your environment with provocative words that challenge norms and conventions, accusative words pointing towards the insufferable roots of turmoil, intolerance, and war. Invocative words pleading for answers, understanding, and awareness. My words will stir whirlwinds and create maelstroms that will draw attention and contention, bring praise and condemnation, be viewed as heresy and revelation. I am not here to demur, to reassure, to tell you everything will be fine, to make you feel safe or secure. I am here to create in you a heightened sense of awareness, to instill in you a clear understanding of the nature of present and future threats, to foster in you a fierce desire to reach out, to be an active part of peaceful solutions and not violent revolutions. I come to call forth howling winds that screech and shout for you to listen to the cries of those in need, to summon torrential rains that will wash away the doubts that plague your sense of being, to generate lightning bolts that will strike and spark in you life-changing epiphanies. I am neither a sorcerer nor a wizard. All I have is this pen that I picked up one day. Gesturing with it, dark black boiling clouds begin to form and swirl. Then came strong gusts of wind and growling, rolling thunder. There was no doubt this writing instrument was special, not meant to be used to write about the warm and fuzzies in life, but instead to bring attention to the harsh, brutal, unremorseful realities that permeate our lives, to reflect on lessons from the past that we seem doomed to repeat our failures, to help one see over the horizon of the conscious and unconscious line of sight, to compel one to think outside the comfort zone and venture beyond. The storm and I are one. I will conjure word tempests that will toss and buffet you like gale-force winds. They will come at you with a cyclonic force so disruptive and overpowering that you will not know whether you're coming or going. They will make you wish you had run away and headed towards the hills. You will pray that the raging metaphors and similes that sting you like a driving rain subside, but there will be no respite until I am done. I will know no sense of inner calmness until I am overcome by time and can write no more, until the fury-laced ink in my pen has run dry, until I have fulfilled my destiny, to be that tornadic wind that came and changed your life. If you survive, you will have a renewed sense of hope and faith, while I, with all my energy spent, will die in peace knowing that, if I moved you at all, you will remember me as that poet that was the storm before the calm. Thank you.
The poet called Tito, followed here by the Albuquerque poet who goes by the name of Grace.
Every day bombs explode in Iraq. Deficit grows bigger as more people lack. When it's all over, who watch our back? Our reputation abroad just don't mean jack. Many are stressed and don't know what to do. Many lost on drugs and their mind is mushed too. Many turn to religion to find a holy guru. Many are so angry they just scream, screw you, no matter what. Keep some love in your life, no matter what. Heal the world from within, no matter what. Keep some love in your life, keep some love in your life, keep some love in your life. People are way off balance approaching 2012. Some think the aliens will save us. Some think we're going to hell. Some act like Chicken Little. The world will end, they yell. Some won't even get the message because they can't even spell. Fathers are missing as moms are in despair. Teachers are overwhelmed and don't have time to care. The young are so angry and in their eyes there is this glare. They may even take their life just simply on a dare. No matter what, keep some love in your life. No matter what, heal the world from within. No matter what, keep some love in your life. Keep some love in your life. Keep some love in your life. Some run to local churches for answers that will fit. Some churches seem to be more about religious politics. Some look to politicians because on our votes they sit. Some politicians double talk, hard to know who's legit. Some seem to be weaker as others grow strong. Relationships between old and young just seem to go wrong. The war in Iraq is over, yet it still goes on. Get out of our country is some people's song. So what shall we do? Millions begin to cry. What shall we do? Politicians seem to lie. What shall we do? Is there something we can buy? What shall we do so our children don't choose to die? No matter what, keep some love in your life. No matter what, heal the world from within for our children. Keep some love in your life. Keep some love in your life. Keep some love in your life. Terrorism everywhere. Keep some love in your life. No matter what, heal the world from within. No matter what, keep some love in your life. Keep some love in your life. Keep some love in your life. Thank you.
We'll close our package of highlights from the World Peace Reading at the 2005 National Poetry Slam Championships with poet George Miller.
Make war. Make war a fashion, never in style. All right. Make war a meal E. coli is defiled. Make war as sinful as cellulite. Make war a language no longer spoken. Make war a door dense and dead bolted. Make war a product recalled and forgotten. Make war a station nobody watches. Make war the equivalent of hunting at zoos. Make war something no sapient creatures will do. Thank you.
Special thanks to each of the poets, to Don McIver and all at the National Poetry Slam Championships for their cooperation as we recorded and prepared this program. You can hear this program again as well as hear other poems from the 2005 World Peace Reading by visiting our website, peacetalksradio.com. That's peacetalksradio.com. Peace Talks is produced by Good Radio Shows Incorporated, a nonprofit media organization producing radio programs and web content meant to inform, inspire, and improve the human condition. Support for the series comes from KUNM and from the McCune Charitable Foundation of New Mexico, online at nmmccune.org. Also the Peace Tales CD Project, online at peacetales.org, and by individual contributions from listeners like you. You can contribute and receive special premiums by visiting us online at goodradioshows.org. That's goodradioshows.org. I'm Paul Ingalls. Thank you for listening.